everybody. My name's Craig.
I'm Brian.
I'm Burke.
And I'm Michelle.
And this is Get Dunked On, the podcast.
Whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa, hearing our prayer. Wasn't sure if I'd already done this song.
Oh, man. If only you had waited like a couple more episodes to do that one. We're almost to 50, and that would have been a great one to do for her halfway there.
Oh, man.
Start over.
Start the whole podcast over. We're going back to one.
Okay. All right, well, I got this great quiz about songs from the 90s. No. Okay, so that actually kind of leads into our first part of the day here. I kind of felt both simultaneously like a child and an old man the other day. So the other day was my dad's birthday, right? And one of the things that he had asked me to do for his birthday is go get firewood with him. My brother had a bunch of trees in his backyard that had gotten cut down, and he wanted to throw them all in the back of the truck. But what I didn't realize that he also wanted to split the wood, right? So, which is fine. So we get there, and he goes, okay, we're going to split the wood. And I'm thinking, what's this wee shit? And he goes, well, no, we're gonna go ahead and split the wood. And it's his birthday. He's 65 years old. And he literally just took the axe and just went to town, just splitting wood, like one shot in it, just like left and right. I'm sitting there watching this going, oh my God, like that's awesome. And I'm all right, so I gotta try this. I have never split wood a day in my life, right? So I'm sitting there watching him for a while, and so I'm like, all right, so I kind of get the mechanics. I've never done this before, and he gives me a couple pointers, and I'm like, if he could just blow through these logs, I could do this too. Not the case. not the case whatsoever. I immediately realized that I was not in a position to assume I could do this. I took the first swing and basically missed the log. So that was a great start. That was a great start. After realizing the aiming mechanic and trying to get that down, I believe I hit it on a 45 degree angle and basically hit it with almost the broad side of the axe. I'm like, oh okay. God. So super not great there either. And to be fair, as time went on, of course, I got better at it and I figured out how to do it. And I got to the point where, was I hitting true every time? No. But could I actually cut the wood? Yes. And I...
In one shot?
No. I could only... I was a twofer. But the point is... Well, no, I take that back. Depended on the wood. Because my brother had two types of trees back there, and one of them I could split, you know, one shot. The other one, no chance in hell. But the point is that I learned how to do that, and it was a very like rigorous outdoor thing that I had never done before in my life, but I had to learn. And my dad was telling me about how when I was first born, he would go out and split wood because that's what all we had was to heat the house. So he would be splitting wood left and right. He goes, man, every time I was pissed, I'd come outside and just split wood. I was like, wow, all right, well, yeah. Lesson learned. But
that was pretty much the only thing that outdoorsy that I was ever good at was splitting wood, because it was basically I only did it like a handful of times. I used to go camping, and I don't know if I remember telling it on the podcast or not about like the type of camping. It was like, hey, we're going over here to where this lake is and you're out in the woods. But you know, you're in an RV and that guy's got satellite over here. So it's not like it was really out. What one thing we would do is, you know, you split the wood so we could make little campfires and stuff like that. Yep, my grandpa would have me go out there and split the wood. It's pretty much the only thing he ever did, and was like, oh wow, you're kind of decent at this. And it was always, since we always went in the summer, I was literally, you know, we'd start baseball in like April ish, you know. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of summer, I'm still right in the middle of my summer leagues. So it was like, okay, let's just chop down on the ball instead of going like swinging across a straight plane. So I'd be like, rap! And I'd go through and I'd hit it pretty well. Granted, obviously you didn't switch over to hammer skills. The more minute movement was terrible, but like that felt like a baseball bat getting in there, a top heavy baseball bat. And I was good with that. I could do that one.
Let me tell you about the times I've chopped wood in Houston to warm it up.
yeah
there you go,
whole history book, right?
It's I could fill up pages pages of space.
I'm just imagining like space. They yell at Burke if he has a magnifying glass. They're like, he's gonna burn the whole place down. <It's> so dry.
No, but for because it just didn't matter. You know, we didn't need it for heat. Like, we had a fireplace. Yeah. If you used it once a year, like, I could smell fireplaces, like, when it got down to 60 degrees in Houston. Like, that's how, like, people just wanted to smell it. I'm like, oh, sure, whatever. But no, I never chopped firewood for that purpose. I've, like, chopped trees up and done stuff like that just to get rid of the wood. But, yeah. So, that's funny, though.
So, what about you, Michelle?
So, my lovely experience, I was, like, 8 or 9 years old, and we had a pine tree in our backyard that was much taller than any other tree that we had, and it got struck by lightning one night and it kind of split in half. It didn't fall, but my stepdad was afraid that it would fall, and even though it was a good distance away from our house, it would have hit the house because it was tall. So he chopped most of it down, and he was like, hey, you want to come help? And I'm like, yeah, sure, like, who gives a nine-year-old an axe, but whatever, like, I'll go outside and help. So I go outside and I'm actually helping somewhat with some of the smaller pieces while he's tackling the bigger pieces, but I probably only did it for about a half hour or so, because what happened is some kind of hornet or wasp or something like came out and it went into my ear. It did not sting me. But it like curled up in my ear and just sat there. And I was just like sitting there like so petrified. I'm like, I'm never moving again in my life. And my stepdad's like, what's wrong with you? Because I'm like holding the axe like, and I'm like not moving. And I was like, there's a wasp in my ear. There's a wasp in my ear. I don't even want to talk because I'm afraid of moving. And he was like, oh God, oh God. So he like puts down his axe and he's like, Tracy, what do I do? There's a wasp in her ear. And she's like, what?
You're lucky. With his axe. He's like, I'll take it out. He just cuts your ear up, clean off. It's like,
so he's like, just walk really slowly and just go sit down and wait. So I did that. You know, it probably took me 10 minutes to walk the 6 feet to an area where I could sit. And I just kind of sat there for the next little bit until it eventually just flew out of my ear. And I was like, oh God, I'm never chopping wood again.
See, you did so much better than I would have. I would have freaked the fuck out, been swatting at the side of my face. That hornet, whatever, like, would have been stinging the shit out of me. That was entirely my instinct,
but I was like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
First. I would have dipped right into that instinct and just been like punching the side of my own head trying to get that thing to not do anything to me.
I mean, I hate it when a mosquito even buzzes by my ear. I couldn't imagine like a wasp in my ear. That I would lose my mind. I'm sorry.
I would rather be in the ear than in my nose or mouth, though. Like those ones are
worse.
So much worse in my head. Mm-hmm. Not to say that a hornet in the ear is bad in any case, but like, I don't even know why the nose one is the one that actually gets me the most. Like, no, please get out of my nose.
See, I don't know. The ear's pretty bad.
The ear doesn't bother me as much as the nose. I don't know why the nose is just so, that is really sensitive to me. Like something going up there that's foreign. My ear, not as big of a deal. Throat, it's not fun, but whatever. I'm eating all the time, so clearly things are. But the nose, no, dude. Things go out. Things do not go in.
So this actually reminds me of a story of Craig and I when we were hanging out outdoors, and we were
Craig's like that happened.
Craig's like we left
Halo. Bullshit.
That did surprise our whole floor on the what was it, sixth floor, when they asked us to actually play sports. You know, yeah, they're like, yeah, right. You two could play baseball. Jail. Anyways, so. So there was a time we were at a friend's house, you know, who lived like a block and a half away from school. And we were in the backyard and we were preparing for a party. And we were, you know, we asked what we can do to help. And the owner of the house, we'll call him Will. He goes, hey, go dig a hole in the backyard for a fire pit. So we had, we went to Christian school. We weren't supposed to cuss and all this stuff. So we were digging and we were just pissed off. We didn't come over here to dig a hole. So we're digging a hole. Turns out it was like, there was like some beehive around here that we were flinging dirt onto. And Like, I could be allergic to bees. I've never been stung by them, but my grandfather is like super allergic to them. So we're all of a sudden bees are everywhere as we're digging this hole, and we're kind of freaking out, and we're like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. And so all of a sudden, you know, we're saying this, one of the other guys comes running out, like hears us freaking out, and goes, and we go, it's bees. And he goes, bees, fuck bees. Just really loud. And so needless to say, that's and I actually got stung. I don't know, somewhere in my ear, not like inside of it, but like at the tip of it, got stung by a bee. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to die. I don't know if I'm allergic. I'm going to die. Yeah.
You went back and slammed some Benadryl, like, please.
Yeah. Slam some. Turns out I'm not allergic, at least that I know of. But yeah, there's my ear bee experience.
Jeez. I didn't have, wow. Yeah, my story didn't involve bees.
We went off on track B for a minute there.
Yeah, well, nice.
Move to the B side.
Yeah, B side.
Yeah, I hate you guys.
You better be careful.
Look, I don't get what the whole buzz is about, all right?
Just shovelers beware.
Yeah.
Oh god. All right. Well, it's probably no secret that our subject today is going to be about bees. Exactly. I'm glad you got there where I was going with that. No, our subject today is not about bees. What is it about today, Craig?
We're talking about outdoor activities that aren't sports. Because people are probably going to go like, why didn't you bring up sports? No, we're excluding sports for this point. Some of those can be outdoors, some can be indoors. We're just going to leave those out for a hot minute.
I'm just laughing because they're like, yeah, right. These guys don't even have any sports stories. It's like, no, you would have an outdoor sports stories, but no, this is all about just fun things you can do out of doors. Now, the weather's breaking and it's kind of been on all of our minds. Who wanted to kick things off today, by the way?
All right. So I guess I'll go first since no one else is talking and everyone's looking at me like,
Burke.
Go.
Burke is the outdoor one.
Burke, save us. You've been outdoors once.
I got sunburned. Who knew? Well, I don't know. So what do I like doing outdoors?
Well, what did you just do this past weekend?
It's one of the reasons I moved to Colorado to go hike some mountain, the snowboard, but that's a sport now. It's, I guess, kind of, so we can't talk about snowboarding.
Yeah. That's on the line. You could talk about it if you wanted in my head. It's still a sport to me, but that's kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. So I came up here to do that, but now obviously it's a little bit late in the season, even though it's supposed to snow here on Saturday.
Weird.
Yeah, I know. usually in May, I'm like, by the 15th of May, I'm like, there's not going to be any other days that are colder than 80 degrees for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, it's 100 degrees here today.
What?
Oh.
Wait, did you move to hell? Like, what happened?
Nope, just
3 days ago.
The devil does live there.
Devils. 3 days ago, it's like 55 degrees, and today it's like, my car said it was 99.
Oh.
Yeah, we hit 95 yesterday. But
Oh god.
We hit 82 on Saturday and everyone's like, "Oh my god, it's so hot."
And Burke's like, "Oh my god, it's cool."
Like, I'm like, "This is winter."
Well, okay, I don't mean to get super off topic already on this one, but talking about the weather brings this up, and I have to ask Burke about this, and I wanted to do it in a public forum, so we got this on record. Burke, do you ever watch that show on HGTV that has the, like, Chip and, I don't remember what her name is? You know what I'm talking about? No, you know what I'm talking about. Flip or Flop, okay. Their home
or Fixer Uppers or whatever.
Fixer Upper. I don't know. I think it's Fixer Upper. I think it's Fixer Upper.
There's two different shows you're talking about.
No, not Flip or Flop.
Guys, you better get them right.
It's not Flip or Flop.
It's Fixer Upper.
Okay, Fixer Upper. Okay.
It's the one with like Chip and his super hot wife. I don't remember what her name is, but she's awesome.
Yeah, they're from Texas.
Yes,
and
they're
all
from
that.
Waco, Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do they always dress like it's like 45 degrees in the Midwest? Like they're always wearing like long pants and like these like Marty McFly puffy vests and shit like that. Like, I mean, it can't be cold there. Like, why are they always dressing like it's cold?
Well, you know, I'm not kidding, because if you're in Texas, uh-huh, and at least this is how it was in Houston and Dallas and a couple of the places outside, it may be 100 degrees and you may sweat your ass off, but inside it's like 65 degrees and it's cold. That doesn't sound cold, but yeah. AC cold at 65 degrees, you know, it's cold after coming in outside. So everyone wears jackets inside.
Yeah. It's just like they were like outside doing hula hoops and shit and wearing long sleeves and puffy vests. And I'm like, it's Waco fucking Texas. It's got to be a billion degrees. Like, so yeah, sorry. No, I'm well, really well, sorry it, to derail it, but
in the winter it will get fairly, it can get cold there. Not like, you know,
that cold,
super but. Cold, but it's more like it'll get really cold at night because it's just how it is.
Yeah. And actually seeing the hula hoop thing kind of leads me into something that I'd like to talk about in reference to our actual topic for the day, which is hula hooping reminds me of Adam's Cabin. Craig, do you agree with that?
No, not hula hooping, but go ahead.
One of the things that we used to do during the summers in Michigan was, especially when we were in college, we would go to our buddy Adam, his parents owned a cabin out on Lake Huron. So what we would do is go out and we do this, basically, I'll call it camping, but it was a full on, you know, a cabin and that sort of thing on the water. And the reason that hula hooping reminds me of that is because we were up there once for a 4th of July weekend, and like all the neighbors have this big, like, I'm going to call it a block party, but it's on the water, so I don't know what else to call it. But point is that they had like all sorts of things, like a hula hoop contest and all this goofy, like kiddie fun stuff. But the point is, it just reminds me of, you know, good times in the summer. But you don't remember that, Craig?
I don't remember the hula hoop contest. I mean, obviously, I remember going up to the cabin, but I do not specifically remember a hula hoop contest. I more think of whatever that form of, they called it Texas horseshoes.
It's,
I
don't know what ladder ball is the official name.
Ladder ball is the official name, where basically you've got PVC pipe.
I love ladder ball.
Oh, and yeah. It's,
for anybody that doesn't know, one, you can Google it. Two, if you want to see an age.
But one, you can Google it, damn.
Well, they want a picture so they can see
it. The podcast.
Because I'm terrible at describing things at times, because I just think like a stupid idiot. So just think of like a fucking rectangle of PVC pipe. And there's
multi-layered H.
Yeah, like if you had an H and then
H is stacked on capital H is stacked on top of each other.
Let's just say you've got a letter H,
so
and then you cap
it. You have part of a ladder made out of PVC.
There you go. There it is. Michelle brought it home. Well,
thank you. We needed
Anyway,
we're struggling with this description of ladder ball.
All right, so fucking you take the goddamn golf balls, you put some fucking rope in between, you throw them at the goddamn ladder.
They're not necessarily Adam used golf balls. Most people don't, just so you know.
But you get weighted shit on each end.
Also,
you tie
it's not
it together.
PVC. Adam just used PVC.
You have fucking things and you fucking throw. And fuck you guys. I'm done. I'm out for the podcast. I quit. You don't have to kick me out. I'm out.
No, but we would play that game. He's right. That was fun. I love that game. I still play that game, actually, quite a bit.
Same.
A buddy of mine just went out and bought a brand new set of it. The only problem is, Tony is when you did it. And say, Craig was giving me the inquisitive look. And it's really great that he went out and did that and got it. And we're all very excited to play it. But the problem is that every time we got to play it, we have to disassemble and reassemble it. So it's like just fuck 5 minutes of just leave it set up. Like, just leave it set up. But anyway, I'm sorry, I digress.
Well, you're talking to the guy that used to play video games daily and would take down his setup and then re-put it back up every single day.
That's true.
Like, what are you doing? Just fucking leave it on the table. You're coming back the next day. Like, I don't know. I'm going to disassemble my bed. I might sleep on it tomorrow night. I might not. Fucking dick.
But yeah, so we would do ladder ball. What else would we do up there? We would we'd ride jet skis and that sort of thing, of course.
And you'd tube behind the jet ski as well.
That's right. That's right. Mm. Do a tube wars or whatever you want to call it. You know, say that sort
we
of thing.
We call the tube wars. Just we'd have two tubes being pulled behind a boat and or jet ski. Well, not ant.
Yeah.
There was one aquatic vehicle at a time pulling us. But we'd have two things and you just get two guys back there or girls. But girls normally didn't participate. And you would just try and wreck each other and get each other off. And whoever got off or whoever got the other person off won that particular round.
Yeah.
And we'd do that a ton.
Yeah. Not because girls wouldn't participate, but because none of us knew girls who would participate, a.k.a. no girls would talk to us. So that was what we did.
We did have a very repelling effect.
Very much so. So what about you? What other summer activities were you into, or are you into, I should say?
I like swimming a lot. I like bocce ball.
Ooh, bocce ball. That's a good one.
I actually didn't. I only played it for the first time, like, I think last summer was the first time that I played it. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I just tried that recently as well. I thought it was pretty cool.
So bocce ball, if I haven't played in a long time, so I might not have the right one in mind. Is that where it's basically you've got one ball, you potentially have it somewhere out in a field, either thrown or placed, and then you have to try and get your ball as close as possible? Is that bocce?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Say that game, and what's the lawn darts? That was the other one that kind of reminds me a little bit.
I haven't played lawn darts, but I think that shit's hilarious.
Absolutely.
Especially because it's been a long time
It's been a long time since a lot of people have played lawn darts, since they're like, throwing a massive sword up in the air that's weighted so it comes back down and decapitates someone. Walmart.
We had that. I mean,
when?
We legitimately had that as growing up, and
I understand.
And
That's what I'm saying.
We still have some an old set of it, like the legit ones that are illegal now.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is they don't sell that kind anymore. They might have something else.
Why not? It's fine.
But it doesn't work very well. I heard somebody talking about it. I have no source to give on it, but somebody was talking about it not too long ago. They're like, we went out and bought the safe lawn darts nowadays. And they're like, it's shit. You might as well just be throwing a bag up in the air. It just kind of thuds there, and you're like, oh, that didn't lay where I thought it was going to.
The kicker is the ones that we had, the second set we had, like, there was the pointed ones.
They were forged over thousands of years in Japan.
Master Smith had to make them. No, but
see, come down, it takes out a bird straight in half.
Okay, so we had the pointed ones, right? But then we also had another set that was, like, they're plastic. So think of it like rounded at the bottom, and it was plastic, but the inside of it was all metal. So realistically, although it was coated in plastic, it's basically like throwing a metal weighted ball into the sky instead of like the javelin dart. So that's basically one of the ones that we played with a lot. But bocce ball, that's a good one though, Michelle. And when you're talking about swimming, are we talking pool swimming? Or are we talking like lakes, ocean?
So lakes and pools, definitely, like in Michigan. And then, so I moved here and I was like super pumped to swim in the ocean. But apparently everyone's like, oh, that shit's dangerous. And so if you try to go past your knees, like people scream at you. So I'm like, oh, swimming in the ocean actually isn't any fun. So
is it like an undertow thing or...
I guess so. But I think that they're being a little dramatic because I'm like, I could go past my knees and probably not get caught by like an undertow, but they won't let anyone at any of the public beaches. And
I mean, there must be good reason for them to
sharks.
Do that. Even if it's not sharks, even if it is something that it's a low percentage.
A good reason, I don't like it.
No, I wouldn't like it either. It's kind of like, oh, I came to the ocean to sit here and I look at it the entire time and never anything else.
Yeah. And like with your knees, like it's not even like you're in far enough to like cool off. Cause then it's like, oh, I have to lay down and now I'm covered in sand. Great.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The mud monster comes and arises.
Yeah. Like even my waist or something where it would be enough room to like maneuver would be fine.
It's like, if I can't discreetly pee in the ocean, then son of a bitch, I don't want to be in it.
So I lived about, you know, when I lived in Houston, you know, I lived an hour and a half from the beach and whatnot. But I went maybe four or five times to that beach because, oh, yeah, it's just disgusting. So because of the way the Gulf Coast current is, you know, it comes up on the south side of Florida and then goes around towards Mexico. Well, the Mississippi River is only 100 miles or so, 200 miles, you know, east. And all of that mud is the beaches. And, of course, Galveston is the main beach in Houston. It's just, it's literally, you walk to maybe about halfway up your shins, and you can barely see your feet. It's just that
I
muddy.
I can verify this. Burke and I went. That was one of the times that we did go down there. We were getting yelled at because all we were doing, it was the first time I went and visited Burke in Houston. Everybody was like, you haven't left the house, you've been playing video games. We're like, yes,
go on.
And we're like, we're having fun here. And so They're like, yeah, you need to go and leave because you need to go somewhere. So go to the beach or something. They're like, okay.
So literally one morning we drive down to the beach, go to like the Kima boardwalk and like see Houston. I'm like, all right, you seen enough? We're good. Yeah, let's go play. We finish up Halo. It was like, we were both just like, okay, we're good. It's nasty. Yeah, let's go. But like the only thing I remember doing at that beach besides getting sunburned and partying, like when I went down there, was like, not the surfboarding, but it's, you know, not boogie boarding. It's where they like stand up and slide on the beach in the
isn't that boogie water. Boarding?
I don't know.
Yeah,
is that boogie that's boarding? Boogie boarding. I have no clue.
I'm like, sure, is that a boogie boarding? He's like, ah, go to hell. That ain't it. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Sure. I have no idea. Yeah, but yeah, doing that because that's all you could do because the waves weren't big enough. Like they were. Yeah, you couldn't do anything. Like it was literally you get in the water and it's seaweed and kelp filled, or you boogie board.
You get in there and if you walk too far, it's like worse than quicksand. It's just so muddy.
Yeah.
Have you tried to surf ever before?
No. On the like doing on the little wakeboarding things on the ship things or whatever those things are called that they have them on cruise ships now. Yeah, I've done that stuff and it fucked up. My brain was fucked up and I couldn't really do it because of snowboarding because it's a little bit different.
Gotcha. I know technically it's like surfing would be considered a sport probably, so we don't want to go down to that territory too much, but I was just curious.
Swimming for me is just one of those things that if you don't have and all three of you are going to be like, you're fucking stupid, especially Brian, because Brian and I have very differing opinions on water. Like if there's not something specific that you're there to do, like some kind of activity, being at the water to me is extremely boring. Like if it's, hey, we've got a pool, like, okay, let's say I'm there by myself and I'm in a, like I'm by a pool. I jump in. I'm like, cool. I'm cooled off now. Now what? Like, well, I'll play around in the pool. I'm like, all right, so I'll swim like 6 laps. And now what do I do? Like, I get bored really easy if I'm just in water and that's the only thing I'm doing is I'm there to be in the water and there's not like, oh, well, we've got like a basketball hoop and something else set up to like, you know, play like a little like water basketball or something. Or, you know, you've got a jet ski where you get to go around and do something a little different than like, oh, I'm swimming and stuff like that. Like it past that, I just get extremely, I'm like, okay, I'm bored. Like whenever we're anywhere for like I'm with my wife and stuff like that. She's like, oh, let's go to the pool. I'm like, okay, we'll go down there. She's like, well, let's go swimming. I'm like, okay. We get in there. She's like, are you not having fun? I'm like, we're literally just sitting in the water talking. Like, we could have done this literally anywhere. Like, what can we do here that we can't do elsewhere?
But you're in the water talking. That's the point.
I can't relate because I love the water, so I feel like I'm probably more on Brian's side of this, but I can understand how you feel because that's how I feel about just going for a run. Like if I'm playing a sport, like I don't mind running around, but to just run with no actual purpose other than running, I'm like, this is dumb.
I'm roughly in the same category. If it was just for fun, like if I was just running to go to have fun, like I understand for like health reasons, you're like, oh, I'm running to stay in shape. But if it was something like, oh, you're in shape, well, let's go running. No.
Why?
I'm fine. Let's not. Yeah. Well, we can go run and have a conversation. No. We could sit here and conversation.
Sit here and have a conversation.
Let's go to the back porch and sit there and have a conversation. Stuff like that. And so,
yeah, who would do either of those things?
Yeah, like to me, it doesn't matter in any of those formats. And usually, I like not being outside because usually I'm sweating outside when people are like, "Let's go sit by the pool." I'm like, "Yeah, let's go just fucking sweat or sit in the water and do the same exact thing that we could be doing right now." We're literally wasting time going out there to set this all up than just sitting where we're at. And I very much understand that. Everybody else in the world has a different opinion on this, but that's just where I'm at.
Okay, let's take this to the next step then. So we know your feelings on if you were to be sitting in the water and having a conversation with somebody, right? Well, now let's escalate the size of it. So it's not just you and your wife. Maybe it's you and your wife and then two other couples, okay? And instead of being at a pool, you're sitting... Well, no.
Where's this going, right?
And then you put all your keys into a jar. No. So, but you're sitting around a campfire at night, right? And maybe you have, maybe if you want to bring drinks in your fictional scenario, you can bring drinks to this party or they have drinks there or whatever. And sure, why not? They have enough for s'mores. You're not actually eating anything other than s'mores, though. So it's not like your dinner. Point is, you're all sitting around a campfire. Does that seem appealing to you?
Slightly. And the only thing that you said in that is the s'mores part, because I know I was going to get a laugh. I was waiting for it. But it's, I mean, it's kind of a fire hazard to bring up an open flame inside your house. Cooking a s'more on, like, in a microwave or other types of things, it's a little different, and it's not exactly the same thing.
Okay, so that's no, like, s'mores. Okay, there's no s'mores no at this party.
If there's no s'mores, then I don't care. And if I had, well, excuse me, I do care slightly. It's usually slightly warm next to that fucking fire, and it usually smells like smoke. So I usually don't like sitting. If you gave me a choice, but granted, Brian, let's just say it is me and Sarah and four other couples or three other couples or whatever, and they're all like, hey, let's go sit out there. I'm gonna go sit out there and talk because that's where everybody else wants to be. But if they said, Craig, we don't give one fucking shit. Do you want to sit here and talk or sit out there and talk? I'm like, I'd rather just sit here. We're already here talking. Like, literally us discussing where to go is already talking. We can just sit here. So I'd rather do that. And then you have to deal with everybody complaining about the bugs, which seems like always happens. I've always got, like, my wife or somebody's like, I'm getting bit by mosquitoes. I'm like, huh, there's none of those inside, is there? But no, we had to come sit out here.
My only problem with, like, things like bonfires and stuff, like, I love them, but I am the person that will attract every mosquito within a 600-mile radius, and everyone else will...
That's why we bring
everyone else will walk away with maybe a mosquito bite, and I'm like, I look like I have fucking chicken pox, and I've been outside for 35 seconds. Like, it's awful.
Michelle looks like she's always a contestant on Naked and Afraid, and like, you know, just absolutely destroyed.
But yeah, if mosquitoes didn't exist, I would have a greater love for the outdoors than I do.
Well, that's interesting to me because, like, if I had a citronella, let's just say that at this party they do have citronella candles as well. So, like, you know, the mosquitoes are going to be, they're going to be there, but it won't be terrible. Okay.
Oh, they'll still find me.
Oh,
so I can put on bug spray, six layers of clothes, be in a
bug net,
pentagram circle of frickin' citronella candles, and every mosquito is going to be like, you're still there. I know you're there.
Wow. 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 Ooh. Well, bad example. But no, but like I was just curious about that because I know Burke is a big fan of the, you know, the bonfire, you know, / fire idea, and I mean, I'm fan of it and all that. So I was just curious to see where you kind of sat on that one. But
there's nothing like being under the campfire and the stars,
and
man.
I love the smell of smoke,
especially in the middle of those
stars. Like I said, if you got rid of mosquitoes, I would love it.
Yeah. Yeah, guess where I have to go now? Like fucking 40 minutes. Yours is in the mountains. Great. There's no fucking lights around.
Everywhere I've ever lived is just, like, fucking light pollution. And so you never get a great sense of it, you know? Except for, like, maybe when I was a little bit littler. Oh, but at that point, I didn't have the appreciation to look up on that kind of stuff. But once we moved and I was in, like, high school, I lived right next to a hospital. Like, you couldn't see shit. Not right next to, but it was close enough that literally it lit up almost everywhere around there. And it was just, like... You couldn't really see. It was terrible. I hated it.
See, I remember because I grew up on a lake and always being around the water. And then we would go out, like, at nighttime, you go out in the middle of the lake and you could just sit there and look up at the stars. And it was like the whole world opened up and everything else. And I remember that especially around July. And, you know, of course, for me, like 4th of July is a very big holiday for me. And so, like, that was one of the coolest things. You go out there, and for a minute before it all starts, what happens is all the people come out of their houses and at my parents' house, and you take your boats out into the middle of the lake. So you have, like, this, like, floating community out there. And then some people would be on shore, and everyone would start lighting off their fireworks at once. So that way, all around you, you look around, and there's just, like, just fireworks going off left and right. It was the coolest. It was one of the coolest. I mean, yeah.
This podcast episode could literally be like, Craig hates everything. Because fireworks are another one of
those. Do you not like fireworks?
I don't care for them. Like, I literally get no enjoyment out of them. It's not like I'm looking up at them getting angry or I'm, like, upset that they're there. But we're sitting there. Everybody's like, I'm like, yes, I don't really. This does nothing for me.
Who doesn't?
I do too. My favorite fireworks show is the one that they did that I got to see over Grand Traverse Bay. That was awesome.
I've heard that they put on some pretty big shows.
Yeah, they do. A lot of rich people up there, so they get the good stuff.
People with the money put up the big show. Yeah, that's true.
I was told when I left Houston that my fireworks will be missed by my neighbors. And it's not like I bought any fireworks. No, they bought all the fireworks. I would just supply more gunpowder, which because I just had cans of it for some reason, you know, whatever. Right, who doesn't need, who doesn't have gunpowder, right? Like so literally I would take small dinky fireworks and kind of combine them. That's let like the kids light them Texas, and right? run. Like yes, it was like
oh, you broke Craig.
It's so true.
Craig's muted, but I can see him. He's losing it.
You broke Craig.
I love it. Currency in Texas.
That was awesome. So I would just make trails of gunpowder and, you know, spell stuff out and then have the kids light it. It like it was awesome. And then of course the end was just a massive explosion of fire and fireworks. But yeah. I love fire.
I love this.
Explosions.
It actually brings up a good point about the smells, right? Like, so like the smell of fire and like, you know, sitting by a fire, like when I come in and my clothes all like are soaked in it, you know, or this yes. is one that, yes. you know, it sounds weird, but like the smell of a lake, like you can after you go swimming and you come out of it. Like, yeah, of course you eventually need a shower and stuff, but like you get the smell of, you know, the lake or the water, depending on what water you're in, you can smell it on your, you know, on yourself. It's, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. It's like the sights and sounds mm-hmm. and smells of summer or spring, summer, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So last weekend I was out in the mountains and we were doing this trail, 6 mile trail, nothing big. But it was because I used to in the summer, I'd come up pretty much every year and go hike like a 14 or something like that. So it, as soon as we got away from the road, you know, maybe a mile in, like you started to see the features of the mountains and I could just. I sniffed and I'm like, oh my God, this is it. Oh yes. It's like, this is, oh yeah. And I was like, I only drove 40 minutes to get here. Yeah. And I was so
That's
excited.
Awesome,
like,
man.
Yeah, dude, it was beautiful.
I
love
Grandfather Mountain
hiking.
There in, was it North Carolina? South Carolina, somewhere, that, whatever. One of those places. Mm-hmm. When I hiked that one, like there were, like I did it completely by myself, just like on a whim, just because, right? And it was the same sort of thing where you get like at a certain point, a certain elevation, you're just like, ha ha, I'm king of the world. I don't know. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But what other things do you do in the warmer months there, Craig?
See, that's the problem is I don't really do anything too much different in warmer months. That
He's like,
doesn't
I contemplate
sports.
Moving to Northern Canada.
I mean, pretty much it was really only sports and, that I did in warmer months. Past that, it was just kind of like when you guys would be talking like, oh, let's go make a bonfire and then we'll go sit out and stare at the stars on a boat in the middle of a lake. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go because I want to be with you guys, not because of any of this other stuff.
Really? You never got a sense of wonder from it?
No, I mean, like, I don't mind the whole stars portion, like looking up at the stars. That's kind of cool because that's not something you're going to get like, you can't sit inside and look up at the stars, really, unless if you really bought a cool house or built a cool house. You know, like that's the only way that's going to happen. And, you know, I've always been enamored by the stars. But past that, like most of the other stuff, it really wasn't a huge, huge draw. It just seems like it seemed like a lot of effort to go to for not a lot of return in my head, because the return I'm getting, like Brian, if you and I went out on a boat mm-hmm. and we hung out and we talked and you drank because I don't really drink, it'd be like the return I get is the conversation we have, the jokes we're making, well, right. stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And if that's fueled because you're in a better mood because you're out on this boat, then yeah, then it's going to be kind of worth it. But like, if we have that roughly that same, if we can have roughly that same conversation elsewhere, that's still what I'm valuing out of that experience. It's not the, oh, you know, we got to feel the rocking of the boat and the smell of the salt in the sea. This is, we are on a coast and not like on a lake somewhere, whatever. But like, you know, that wouldn't really be the part that really got to me for summer stuff. It was like, it's more of just being able to hang out with people is really what I enjoyed the most out of doing summer stuff that didn't involve sports.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a good way to kind of culminate all the stuff that we talked about. All the activities that we were mentioning today really were based around being with people in the long run. I mean, yeah, they were some individual, a little bit of individual stuff, but the idea is that apparently when the weather breaks and people are able to go outside a little bit more and do that kind of thing, we tend to look for excuses to get together and just have some fun and share a laugh. But, you know, it may not be our favorite thing, but it's something we definitely all look forward to. And I feel like that's where it goes, and plays a little.
I looked forward to it, you know, and hanging out with people, but the part I hated was the sweating just in Houston, because you just always went outside and sweated. Like, that was the worst part of it for me.
Yes,
and
in Houston for me.
Yeah. You know, it's just, yeah, no, you in general, but like, I mean, literally you walk outside, you start sweating. It was just miserable. And not to mention when I, growing up, like as a kid, like no one ever had water. So I could, they would always have Coke, and I don't drink Coke or any carbonated product. So it was awful. I always thought I was going to die when I went outside to shit like that. Maybe that's why I started playing video games.
That's really weird that Houston wouldn't have water widely available, and it was more of any form of carbonated drinks or things that,
yeah,
really kind of actually dehydrate you a bit. It was just counterintuitive.
It was just the era we grew up in. I mean, like you know, when as a kid, I went outside and we did, you know, you sweated, you didn't care, but it was as you went on. But it was, I just remember that. Just
yeah, I don't know. I guess I would sweat, and I still sweat outside, but not like that to that extent where I was like worried about my health, I suppose. But, you know, I always had water and I wasn't like concerned. So
no, I was always very well hydrated because I knew what was going to happen if I wasn't well hydrated. I remember just this is slight sports talk, but like during football, everybody else would go over to the, we had like this water trough. They hook up a hose to this trough. It squirts fucking water everywhere.
It literally was a trough, basically.
So you can get like 10 people over there taking drinks at the same time. And I remember sitting there and people would be like, the hell are you doing? I'm like, I am sweating so much. I have to replenish. Otherwise, everything's going to go wrong in my body. I have to do this. And I'd sit there for just like 2 minutes, like gulp, 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 gulp,
well,
gulp, gulp.
And, oh, yeah. And people like that, you that ruined it for the rest of people like me, because by the time I was always the last one there because I was really fucking slow. And but the coaches would time the water breaks, right? So everyone else is gulping down water. I'm like last in line. They're like, bring it back together. And I'm like, I didn't get a drink, coach. Oh God. And then I just have to like wheeze my way back to the line again. I'm like, thanks a lot. So now I know who to blame.
Even when I was the last one there, I was like, I could give one shit and I'd say whatever coach's name I was currently talking to. I'm like, I'm getting my drink of water. And especially after they had the, like I think it was like our junior or senior year, they had a couple deaths because of the heat that was going on during football camps. It was like, we're giving you guys 45 minutes extra of a break for water. And I was like, yes, that's my Monster's Grow.
Oh no,
that's awesome. So I guess we can probably move on to the quiz.
Ooh, I'm excited for this week's quiz. I'm very, very excited for it.
All right, so I took some liberties. I have a weird numbering system for my quiz this week, but hopefully we'll get it. And I tried to base this quiz around, of course, the outdoors, but more around being somewhat informative.
This one's going to be a legit, actual informative quiz.
Yeah,
I'm going to try Brian's to be aware of this.
It's like excellent real knowledge.
All right, so this first question is actually a four-parter right now.
Do we have order?
Yes, it's going to be Brian, Michelle, Craig.
Mm. And if I know it, I can go last if I call it out, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that works. All right, so I'll go back to the rule. So this first question is going to be four parts. I'm actually going to send something right now in the Mumble chat so y'all can see it. For everyone else, you won't have a reference for these first four questions, but I will tell you what all of them are. So I just sent the rest of the peoples six type of plants. We have giant hogweed, poison oak, poison ivy, stinging nettle, poison sumac. I have no idea if I said that right. And poodle dog bush. All right. So question number 1.1. What are the two poisonous plants that are found all over America out of that list I just read off?
I believe it's all over America.
All over America.
I'm going to say the stinging nettle and the poison oak.
Okay.
I am saying poison ivy and poison sumac.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to go with the poison oak and poison ivy.
Okay. So this round, we have Brian with 0, Michelle with 1, and Craig with 1.
Ooh.
The answer is poison ivy.
Oh.
And I know it's stinging nettle.
Wait, what? Wait.
Brian said stinging nettle.
Oh, he said stinging nettle. Sorry. Yeah. Brian, okay. You get 1 point then.
Whew.
Sorry.
I didn't want to fall behind early, man. I said,
my fault.
Yes, he's so confident he's going to win.
I am not confident. But yeah, what they call a facade, Michelle.
A facade. Yes. All right. So, how to put this question. So I said, the question is, what percentage of people will get a rash from rush oil, which is the poison ivy plant?
What percentage of people will get that per year?
No, just what percentage of people are allergic to it will actually have a reaction to the oil that comes off the poison ivy plant.
Oh, 30%.
80%.
I'm going to go with 11%, Bob.
Michelle gets the closest. Ooh. 85%.
No kidding.
I knew it was a lot. Yeah. And like, I have a lot of allergies, but I can roll around in poison ivy and be fine.
That's amazing.
And I was like, I knew I was like rarer than a lot of other people.
Yeah, it's 85%.
Michelle's nickname is Pamela from here on out.
So you got to watch out for those three leaves, you know. All right. Next question. So 1.3. What poisonous plant out of this list is found where Michelle and Brian live?
Sorry, you said that what poisonous plant? What's that?
What poisonous plant that we've already listed off from the first question?
Yeah,
are found where both you and Michelle live?
Stinging nettle.
Well, besides those two, besides the ones that are found all over America.
Oh.
And they were what? Nettle and ivy?
Yes, nettle and ivy were poison ivy were the
So it can't be
it won't be those two. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's one of the other ones. I guess I'll go with poison oak again.
I'm going with poison sumac.
I'm going to go with giant Hogsmeade. Nice.
And Craig gets the point on that one.
Wow.
I have never heard of giant hogweed.
I literally threw, that was a throwaway. I was like, this isn't it, but I'm just going to make the Hogsmeade jump because I've been sitting on it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's actually a plant that is around 7 to 14 feet tall.
What?
Yeah. It's got a dark green stem. But with it has dark reddish purple splotches and white hairs. And then the flower at the top can be like,
sounds horrible.
Yeah. The flower on top is white and can be like 2.5 feet across.
Money on that's going to be a Pokemon in Generation 8.
There you go. All right. This next question is, what poisonous plant is found where all three of you live? Obviously, it's not the three we've mentioned already.
Poison oak. Keep going with that one until it's right.
I'm also going to pick poison oak.
It's clearly the poodle dog bush.
That is incorrect. Should have went with your last guess, Michelle. It's poison sumac.
Once again, no idea about that one.
So, let's see here. Let me pull
it. We're going to walk into the woods and all of us will die instantly.
The poison sumac is it causes rash similar to poison ivies. It supports around 13 leaves, but is found almost exclusively in wet areas like swamps. So it actually kind of has reddish leaves. They're very tiny.
Huh.
So anyways, so the other two, or I guess those poison oak, and it's mainly found in the Pacific region. Mainly.
There you have it.
Yep. There you go. It was called Pacific poison oak, but I wanted to take that out since that would kind of ruin.
Yeah, Michigan has some form of poison oak.
Yeah, it's not as common though.
Right.
And then the poodle dog bush is found purely in Southern California.
Huh.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've never heard of that Neither one either, so it's gotta be pretty exclusive.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I've heard of two of these of the six that you already listed off. So it's like I was like, I've heard of poison ivy. I've heard of poison oak. Past that, fucking don't know.
Stinging nettle. I mean, you know that one because it grows in the yards in Michigan. You step on them, we call them pricker bushes.
Yeah.
And he's ow, you know, and he goes, God,
sure.
Son of a, bap, bap, when you walk around barefoot, they you know,
they're just leaves sure. spikes like,
yeah.
on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You would know it if you saw it.
I'm sure I would. I lived a charmed life. We had a service.
For somebody who was forced outdoors a lot as a kid, you missed a lot.
I just played sports. That's all I did when I was outdoors.
Like, I was on a court every time.
No, literally.
Yeah, I mean, you're never playing like baseball outfield and like hit one. They're everywhere.
No, we didn't play baseball without it being like an actual field.
The fields were always manicured to the...
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's kind of what I was going at was we always had like a gardener. We had a professional service come into our house, like since all I can remember. Landscaper, there we go, is kind of what I was going for. So like we never had any of that kind of stuff around the house, and I didn't really
gotcha.
Pay attention past that. I didn't go into other people's yards and dive into the wood, into the bushes. It was usually outside time when I was that young and being forced outside was we'd play street hockey a ton.
Gotcha.
And we'd play football in one of our buddies' front yard because they had the big front yard.
All right. So that concludes all of those poisonous plant section. So now we'll go on to actually a little bit of loathing trivia. All right.
That loathing trivia. What do you loathe?
I'm glad I'm not the only one that heard that.
Meanwhile, Craig's like spending time alone with someone when we're not actually doing something.
Swimming with no purpose.
Campfires without a purpose.
Hot dogs, America.
Yeah, fireworks because, you know.
So, yeah, sorry. I had a bunch of meetings. I had a 30-minute meeting that went 2.5 hours today. Hence my voice being rough. A gruff. Okay. All right. Okay. Back on track. Okay. All right. Question number two. Early humans, like some of the first recorded humans, used what for insulation and or clothing against the elements? Think about the first recordings of clothing.
I mean, I got to go with hides of animals. Yeah.
I am going to say animal fat specifically.
I was going to say the hides and fat of their enemies.
It's leaves.
Damn it. It was thatch all along.
Well, yeah, there you go. All right. So I'm not even going to. I'm going to go with Otzi, which is O-T-Z-I, who it's actually a name. Who was found in Italy a few years back, was wearing a grass cloak when he met his demise around 3,500 years ago. Or for Brian, 3,500 years ago. No Thank problem.
You. Shit. Appreciate that.
Wait, you really like can't understand that?
No, I can understand it. I just think it's a stupid way of saying it.
What material? Wrong question. Okay.
Leaves. Yeah.
when he met his demise around 35 years ago by his fellow kin with an arrowhead.
35 years yes. ago? That wasn't that long ago to get shot with an arrow.
So okay. 3,500 years ago. Thank you.
Yes.
He was wearing a grass cloak, as I said earlier. What else was he wearing?
Animal hide loincloth for underwear.
I'm going to say, oh God, I don't even know. Wooden shoes.
Good guess.
His arch villain's face.
His arch villain's face. I'll give Brian 0.5 points because it was leather. It was the first, as far as I could find, it's the first known human that remains that we found where the leather was used.
Nice. Take it.
Yeah. And of course, that was on the Italian, like Alps and in the mountains. All right. Question, I guess that was 2.1. So question 2.2. We now have many hydrophobic materials. But the Inuits did not, but they may have perfected what we now call the parka, or invented it. What material did they use for protection against wet snow or rain?
Seal skin.
Okay.
I'm good. Seal skin. That was my guess too.
I'm gonna go with feathers.
Okay. I will give Brian and Michelle half a point. It was seal intestines.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because I've actually, when I was in Alaska, I saw them. They were all, it was like very thin strips, you know, of the intestine, and it was paper thin and very light, and it was almost opaque, and you could see through it. But it was so water, hydrophobic that it was the perfect rain gear. Yeah.
Huh. That's actually really fascinating. Yep. Don't say we didn't teach you anything, right. Kids.
Question 3.1. So I'm sure you've heard. By watching all these outdoor channels, you know, not sticking on HGTV, you know, if you've ever seen a Bear Grylls episode, like I know Craig watches.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. It's his favorite.
Doesn't miss an episode.
DVRs. Yes.
Or even in movies, because they always say prepare camp early, you know, prepare camp a couple hours before sunset, you know, smart thing to do. Okay. and preferably always also near a water source. Makes sense, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. What is the minimum mm-hmm. distance mm-hmm. away from the water source you should be?
I want to say 15 feet.
Okay.
I'm going to say 100 feet.
It's 15 feet or 15 yards. Shit. I don't, whatever.
I'm going to go with roughly like 45 feet and hopefully a foot or two up. You can get up a little higher than the water source.
Yeah, you're supposed to technically camp around 200 feet away from a water source.
I was close.
So, 200.
Yeah. So I'll give it to Rochelle for that one.
Yeah. Isn't that because of flash flooding and that sort of thing?
Yeah, anything like flash flooding, especially in the mountains and whatnot, definitely probably want to get higher than that.
Right.
And then also, so you don't want to contaminate the water source any more than animals already do with excretion. Okay.
Yep.
And then, of course, question 3.2 going along with this. What is the best direction for your tent to be facing?
Your best direction for your tent to be...
Yeah, think about in a hiking scenario where you're, you know, doing a multi-day hike.
I'm assuming you mean the opening of the tent?
Yeah.
Okay.
East.
Okay.
South.
Well, I'm putting mine west so it doesn't wake me up in the morning when the sun comes up.
Well, that's why I did east.
No, I don't want to wake up, so I'm pointing west.
Brian's correct because of that logic.
yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, you probably want to get up at the crack of dawn.
No,
so.
I want to sleep in. Fuck the sun.
Exactly. You want that natural light to wake you up so you can not hike in the hot part of the day and sweat. Trying to save you some sweat, Craig.
Dude, bitch, it could be 3 a.m. I'm sweating anyway. I'm getting tan at least while I'm out there.
So hopefully y'all paid attention in high school science or even before that, and you know what the normal body temperature is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Knowing that, by the way, it's 98.6, Craig. When does
I'm just imagining putting a thermometer in my mouth. So like, am I sick today? I pull it out. I'm like, fuck, I don't know.
What does this mean? I know.
Knowing that, when does hyperthermia start? It's what temperature?
Hyperthermia? Mm-hmm. Symptoms
of hyperthermia.
No, I understand. Mm-hmm. I just thinking of like, I thought for some reason I always thought it was hypothermia, but I guess I'm wrong, but I guess I'm going to say it's at 95.5.
Okay.
No, 96. I'll round up.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's the other direction, so I'm going to say 105.
Okay. I was going to go with 101.
All right. Brian gets a negative 0.5 for not understanding the English language. Michelle gets zero. And Craig gets one.
Is having a fever that called hyperthermia?
No, that's called getting a fever.
It's called having
when
a
you're
fever.
Outside and your body is just naturally getting hotter because it's hot out like that, and it's getting to the point where you're gonna get like heat exhaustion and shit like that. It's hyperthermia.
Yeah,
like an outside force is
hyper is up and hypo is down.
It's an outside.
Well, I just thought he just fucking missaid it because I was like I didn't know that about hyperthermia. I guess it being like a like that being the official word for it. I thought he was mispronouncing hypothermia.
And what is the temperature that hypothermia is since
96, fucker. Jesus.
Say 105, Brian.
Son of a bitch.
I'm going to say 93.
I'm going to go with 94.
I'm going to give it to Craig because he is the closest without going over because it is 95.
Yeah,
95 is when hypothermia symptoms start showing.
I know it's really close. Yeah. Your body has a pretty limited range it needs to sit in for outside forces. Otherwise, everything starts just fucking grinding to a halt.
Oh, yeah. And I forgot to say the hyperthermia, but that's 100.4. So literally you have like 4 degrees on each side of.
It's not a lot of buffer, folks.
Nope. So going up a step, actually 2 steps, both hyper and hypothermia can cause a coma. What temperature will you most likely be in a coma for hyperthermia?
Higher. 107.
I'm going with 105.
Yeah, I'm going with like 102.
Okay. Brian hits the point dead on. It is 107.
Yes!
Dude, I'm thinking 107. Things are like just liquefying inside your body.
Yeah, I had
pretty bad.
I had 104.8 fever once, and like the hospital was telling me I was like this close to.
Yeah, that's the official. You know,
haven't you guys ever seen Osmosis Jones?
But like, but you know, you're gonna go to Nakobo somewhere around that, and then death is at 110. Oh. All right. Oof. Let's go with the same question for hypothermia.
I'm gonna say that's at. Let's see, if you said 95 was when it kicks in, I'm gonna say it's only a 93.
92.
Fuck it, 90.
Craig gets the point. It's actually 82 degrees.
Wow.
So your body can deal
that's
with
a lot lower
the,
than
your
I thought.
Body can deal with the cold, you know, at a lower temperature and death.
That's why when I watch Dual Survival, I always say I'd rather be in the cold weather survival situations than I would be
and
in
death
the
happens
hot
at
stuff.
75. So yeah.
Oh,
I mean, that's
just imagining being dropped off in that one. Everybody's like, oh, it's fucking freezing. I'm sitting there out there. I'm like, on a lawn chair that I've somehow made. Like, what the hell's happening with you?
I'm
like,
not sweating. Oh, this is wonderful.
No, I still have like a leaf on my patting down my forehead a little bit.
They're like, we have to get back to civilization. Craig's like, nah, we're good.
The trout are frozen in the stream. I'll just cook those. Yeah. Running water's frozen. Now. Yeah, why?
Go on.
All right. So question 5.2. Or sorry, 5.1. The last one was 4.4. Okay, yes. Everyone knows that Mount Everest is the highest mountain in the world. Or I would hope so. Craig, did you know that? Okay, good. Making sure. What is the highest mountain in North America?
The Matterhorn.
That's in Italy. Okay.
Bitch, that's a Disneyland. You need to go around in circles.
I actually have no
Pike's
idea.
Pike's Peak, then. It's I don't late. Know.
I'm going to fact check myself while y'all are answering.
Mount McKinley.
God damn it. That was going to be the one I was going to say. God, it's in Canada.
I know that's for the U.S., but I don't know
yeah,
if
that's
it's
the
for
U.S.
It's
no,
North
it's
America.
It's in Canada. It's north of
the
Vancouver.
The question was North America.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I know. I'm just, I don't. I know that's the one for the U.S. I'm hoping it's also the one for North
no,
America.
No, it's north of Vancouver.
It's, and by the way, that was Switzerland. The Swiss Alps, not the Italian Alps. But very close.
You were still closer
very
than
close
Brian was.
To Italy, though.
I went off of the Simpsons episode where he climbed the Matterhorn, and I was like, what's the real life equivalent of that? Oh, yeah, the Matterhorn. So I'm going to go with that.
I'm just going to say Mount St. Helens.
Okay. That one got its top blown off. Would you like to revise?
Well, the only other thing I was going to say was Mount McKinley, because that's the one in Washington, but it's not right.
Okay, we're going to go with, I'll give Michelle half a point, because it used to be called Mount McKinley.
I'm in the right
mountain. It's technically the right mountain. It was renamed back to its original name, Mount Denali, because the whole national park, and it is in Alaska.
I thought it was in Canada.
Nope.
North of Vancouver.
Nope. That's I think the second tallest one is in the Yukon. So, but it's like 5,000 feet shorter, because this one's 20,000 feet. And like when you're in Anchorage, hundreds of miles away, you can still see it over the rest of the mountains. It's incredible.
These geography questions are really hard. I did not do well in social studies in school, I'll be honest with you.
So, but as I said, it is now Mount Denali. It was Mount McKinley, and but that was after a president who wanted the park named after him, but the I don't know, somehow took the name back. There you go. I don't know the whole story on that one, though. Okay, question 5.2. What state in the continental U.S. has the highest mountain? What state? Yep.
In the continental U.S., Montana. I don't know.
California.
Washington.
Michelle is correct on that one. It is California.
Silly Craig. Washington's on the East Coast. It doesn't have any mountains.
Wow.
What an idiot.
There's Appalachian Mountains. Now who's the idiot?
Ooh.
Oh, come on now. Those aren't anywhere near D.C.
So anyways. Okay.
They're not far.
Anyway, so that, yes, it is. Nah. That is Mount Whitney, and it's in California in the Sierra Nevada range, and it's 14,505 feet. I've actually climbed the second tallest, which is Mount Elbert here in Colorado. But the last question of the quiz is a very informative question. It is, what is the highest altitude I have ever pooped? with my feet being solidly on the ground.
If I only had access to Pip.
Craig knows this because I've told him one time, one year. I know.
What is the name of the mount or the altitude? I mean,
yeah, is what's the altitude?
I legitimately don't even have a guess, so I'm just gonna make up a number. 2139.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 9,999.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Brooke. I'm probably going to disappoint you because I don't remember the number. Was it like 12,000?
All right, Craig. Craig gets the point. It was 14,232 feet.
I thought I remember it being around because I was like, I've done 30,000 because, you know, planes. And you're like, yeah, my feet were on the ground. And I was like, oh, he's like halfway there. Wow, that's pretty impressive. But so I was like 12, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Mount Chauvineau.
Chauvineau,
Central Colorado. So, yeah.
Well, I got dead last on this quiz today, so that's for sure.
Yep. And with Craig getting that last one, he actually won with 7 points.
There's no way that's true.
Yeah.
He asked for actual, you know, statistics and numbers and things that, you know, geography, things like, come on, man. That is my kryptonite. Everyone knows
I fully
that.
Expected this quiz to end up being like, okay, if you've got this type of firewood, how do you start this fire? And I was like, I'm fucked.
Oh,
but you brought up geography and like
that's
the human,
what I thought when he said
and
this.
The human body, like what, like I was like, oh, I know these numbers because I don't know. I like the sciencey stuff on it.
No. If he were to like, it's like, you know, like how does a bow drill work? I'm like, hell yes, I got this. But if it's, but like the stuff that he was talking about, I'm like, I don't know.
I went with the simpler stuff, Brian, the simpler stuff,
the simpler stuff. I don't know none of that damn book learning
and stuff that could keep you alive. So you're not all itchy all over.
That's true. That's true.
So yeah. Michelle, you came in second with 6, and Brian, you had 3.5.
3.5. Hey, I will take the half point. I don't know what I got it for, but I definitely.
You got to remember, you did lose half a point as well at some point. So that half's not exactly a great thing.
Yeah.
That's true. I did lose one.
Yeah,
just
I think
because
you got
I thought
one
he mispronounced
point for stinging
something.
Metal.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. I can't translate 6 to my numbers over here.
Yeah, no, it was the seals, hyper versus hypo situation.
It was the seals thing.
Ah, yeah.
Seals and animal skin. That's where your other 2.5s came through.
Gotcha.
There we go.
It's all about that SEAL Team 6. Absolutely. What's the matter, Burke?
SEAL Team 6 totally dunked on Osama bin Laden.
So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over, if the high was worth the pain. Got a long list of best lovers. I'll tell you what I'm saying, cause you know I love the players. And you love the game, cause we know you're reckless. We'll take this way too far. It'll leave you breathless.
SEAL Team 6 totally dunked on Osama bin Laden.
All right. Well, that's our show.
Wow.
Okay. We wander into the wilderness and get dunked on or anything like that. It's we ended it on the old Osama bin Laden got dunked on by SEAL Team 6. Yep. Another one in the books. Another win for the GDO team.
Oh my God.